Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
And now let's get started with Kimmy. So I'd love to introduce you to her. Kimmy is a kink expert, also known as Mistress Nina Payne. She is an author, a professional dominatrix of 15 years, a kink BDSM educator, 12 years and a somatic therapist of 4 years. And she's dedicated to teaching curious individuals and couples how to deepen their connection to self and in relationship through kink and fantasy exploration. She holds workshops and training sessions alongside her somatic healing sessions, which are focused on intimacy, relationship health, and sexual healing. Let's all welcome Kimmy Inch.
Hi, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And just so you guys know, straight off the bat, this is going to be a little unconventional. I have an invitation for you all to consider, and it's an invitation, but if you feel like you want to intensify your experience, at some point during this talk, I'm going to be leading everyone through an erotic visualization exercise. And if you want to intensify that experience a little bit more, I invite you to access something that you can use as a blindfold. It could be a blindfold, it could be a scarf, it could be a necktie. It can be anything you want, and it is an invitation. So don't feel like you have to do any of this. It's gonna be much later in the talk, probably 40 minutes in, but I just wanna extend that opportunity to you all if you feel particularly daring today. I'd love for you to grab something that could be used as a blindfold. Now, that was a great introduction. Thank you so much, Marta. My name is Kimmy Inch, AKA Mistress Nina Payne. And yes, I am a somatic therapist. I've been doing a combination of talk therapy, body psychotherapy, and energy work for the last 6 years. However, preceding that, I've been a professional dominatrix internationally for 15 years. And on top of that, I've also been a kink and BDSM educator for the last 12 years. So I would love for everyone to just take a pause and take a nice deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. I'm going to be encouraging that we all keep our breathing nice and deep and full. Because a lot of the time when we get excited or nervous or nerve-sided, as I like to call it, we can contract, we can shallow our breathing, and sometimes even hold our breath. And honestly, what better subjects than kink, the erotic, and fantasy, sexual fantasies to get us a little nerve-sided. So as we're doing this talk, I'm gonna be sort of reminding you to come back to the body and slow it down, and just purposefully slowing down your breath, so you can process all the information that might be coming at you, because this is a place that sometimes we step over ourselves. And I really want us to go slowly and go in this together. So we're gonna do little bits of deep breathing throughout this experience. And as I said earlier, I need to warn you that this talk isn't conventional and it's not for everyone. And kink is not conventional and it's not for everyone as well. And it's not just about the mental alone. Kink brings out sensuality. It gets us in touch with our bodies in this intimate way. And I'm hoping to really awaken your senses and perhaps your sexual appetite, and get you in touch with that Eros energy, you know, that energy that is connected to our aliveness, our power, our creativity, you know, that life force energy, which is actually a really important aspect to the erotic, to kink and BDSM. So during this talk, I'm going to be inviting people to move, even if it's minimally. I'm going to be showing you some images that are considered more adult in nature. I'll be playing some music. I'll be encouraging you to access these sort of naughty thoughts and erotic desires that you don't normally just share with anyone. And with that said, please know that consent is absolutely foundational. It's a foundational part of kink. So just know that any invitations that I make during this hour are just that. They're invitations, they're requests, and they're never demands or expectations. And I know there's a lot of people in these workshops that will say, you know, don't do anything you don't want to do. But I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say it's forbidden to do something that you don't want to do. So if there's an invitation to try something, go ahead and just take a moment, check in with yourself, and see what's happening in your body. And if you're coming to a choice or a decision, notice if it's a way to protect the ego or if it's actually grounded in the truth of who you are, because either way, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's just an exercise to sort of feel into where you're at now. And if you feel like you're in a place that you want to sort of be cautious, I respect that. Make sure you take care of yourself, because all parts of you are welcome here. So to get things started, I think it's important that we begin building the container, because although we're all here online, we're still collectively bringing our energies together in this moment. And I think it's important to establish that we're all in this together. So please write into the chat what the word kink brings up for you. How does it make you feel to hear the words kink, BDSM, sexual fantasies, domination and submission, kinky? And how does it make you feel that you're joining this talk now, that this is going to be the focus of this talk, are these subjects? How does it feel in your body? How does it feel emotionally? Type into the chat how you're feeling or what brought you here, or just anything, anything at all, to let other people know that we're all here together in this. Curious, shame, freedom, comfortable, growth. Excellent. Yeah. While you guys are thinking about this and tapping the words into the chat, I want to acknowledge you all for being here and venturing into the unknown with me. There's a famous psychotherapist who I highly respect. Her name's Esther Perel. And she said, creativity, where Eros resides, invites us into an active engagement with the unknown. And I'll have to say, to piggyback on that, erotic knowledge is powered by curiosity, by intuition, and by imagination. So I hope you think of this talk as an opportunity to gain more erotic knowledge and hopefully more self-knowledge in the process. So let's take another deep breath. And I'm going to play a little something for us to sort of get us into our bodies, get us grounded, and maybe hopefully awakens that Eros energy. So I'm going to offer three different options for you to consider in this practice or in this exercise. One is getting up to move. And specifically when you're moving, really sort of getting into the hips, the pelvis, the legs, and really sort of grounding your energy down. If you're not comfortable with getting up or unable to get up and move, then the second option would be to stay in your chair and still being able to move your hips, your pelvis, your shoulders, your head, feet, stomping your feet onto the ground, continuously sort of bringing that energy from the head down into the body. And if neither of those options sound appropriate for you, maybe you don't have privacy at the moment, I understand. Then I ask you to just close your eyes and visualize yourself moving, move at whatever capacity you do have, and allow the music to sort of penetrate you. Now, this isn't normally the kind of music I would play for something like this. I'm a more of a Nine Inch Nails kind of girl, and I'd be playing something like Closer, you know, I wanna, you like an animal, but I'm not allowed to play that right now. So we're gonna play something that I am allowed to play, and has a little bit of a dirty beat to it. Bear with me if this isn't your style of music. It's just a tool to sort of help us tap into something. So I'm going to stand up. You guys decide how you want to do this exercise. And we're just going to do it for, I don't know, three-ish minutes here. Let me see. Sharing my sound. Thank you for your patience. Move the hips and breathe. Whatever you're deciding to do, breathe. Breathe.
Awesome, guys. Bring that to a close. Go ahead and come back to your seats if you aren't already.
Good stuff. Just take a moment. Maybe just close your eyes, feel your heart, feel your stomach, feel your pelvis, whatever feels most comfortable to you. And just take a deep breath. And just notice the physical sensations you're feeling in your body now. Take another deep breath in, expanding your belly. Notice what's happening in your chest, in your stomach, in your pelvis, in your head. Not making any judgments, just noticing. This is an exercise I like to do before I engage in my kink sessions. I like to sort of move my body to music that feels sexy to me, that feels erotic, and sort of tap into that part of myself. And it just feels fucking great to move as well. So I enjoy it. Type into the box if you notice any differences or feel any shifts after the movement. And we're gonna get started here. Power, more relaxed, awesome. Definitely in a sexier mood, oh yeah. Very grounding. Someone wants to continue moving? Girl, be my guest, boy, be my guest. Be my guest, feel free. So I'm gonna share my screen so we can start this little adventure together. Let me stop this. Bear with me, my pets. Here we go. Okay, can everyone see my screen? Just give me a thumbs up. Thank you so much. So let's just start off with the basics here, okay? What is kink? While this term can encompass many sexually related activities, basically kink is considered the unconventional in sex. So what one person thinks is unconventional is definitely different than another, but these kinky sexual practices could include many things as light as talking dirty to a light role play to more specific BDSM related activities like bondage, domination, and submission, and fetishes, to name a few. The biggest misconception about kink is that it's sex. And on the contrary, kink is a tool that can be used for pleasure, both sexually and non-sexually, but kink is not sex. Kink is eroticism, because kink is about using creativity and the imagination. It's about stimulating not only the mind, but the body, and hopefully the soul as well. So don't only weird people like kink? That's a joke, by the way. But you'd be surprised, there's so many people that feel very uncomfortable with their sexual fantasies and their kinks. But I ask you, would the book series 50 Shades of Shit, oh, I'm sorry, I mean 50 Shades of Grey, sell over 35 million copies from 2011 to 2019, being the third top selling book series of the decade, if people weren't interested in kink? See, I don't think so. And according to the 2015 Sexual Exploration in America study, more than 22% of sexually active adults engage in role-playing, while more than 20% have engaged in being tied up and spanking. There's a lot of great research you can find online, but I also want to include another resource called the Clinical Practice Guidelines for Working with People with Kink Interests. And there's a lot of research here that has been covered through this site that talks about just how common, really, our kinks are. But why do people like kink? So some people engage in kinky activities for many reasons. It could be heightening the intimacy with their partners. It builds trust and it can intensify the sexual experience. As some enjoy exploring roles outside of their daily lives. It's, you know, almost like taking a break from who you typically are during normal business hours. While others need specific kinky activities to get aroused or to even reach climax. And it remains unclear at the moment whether or not kink could be considered a sexual orientation. The two theoretical approaches to understanding kink are the leisure approach and the sexual orientation approach. And the leisure studies examine meaningful activities that are freely chosen and that provide opportunities for people to experience positive emotions, stress release, adventure, self-expression. And the sexual orientation approach examines kink as an aspect of sexuality that involves enduring interests or attractions that are beyond the conscious control of the person. So either way, the verdict is still out on that, but many believe that both the leisure or sexual orientation approach could be true for different people. However you want to look at it, kink allows for an experimentation of desires, boundaries, and vulnerabilities. And part of the thrill of kink is engaging in our fantasies is the whole taboo nature of it. Because when we engage in things that feel taboo or naughty, it can impact us physically. Aside from feeling aroused, there might be a rush of adrenaline, endorphins can be released, or there can be an increase in oxytocin production. And it's interesting because being that we're at an embodiment conference, I think it's important to mention that many people report that kink takes them out of the craziness of their heads and into their bodies, bringing them into the present moment, which is why I think it's a perfect subject to explore at an embodiment conference. Because if you think about it, you're probably not going to be thinking about paying bills or other mundane life stuff while you're getting a good spanking or being tied up. At least I hope not. Everyone, let's just take another deep breath together. Great. So where do our kinks or sexual fantasies come from? So I'm sorry to say there isn't a clear-cut answer to this question. Our fantasies have the potential to emerge from many different sources, and while we may consciously recognize some of these sources, it's not uncommon for people to have no sense of where their fantasies come from. And it's not really surprising because we aren't always able to introspect and pinpoint why we want the things we want, whether it's sexually or otherwise. And psychologists have long known that introspecting or looking inward can often provide valuable insight, but it doesn't always lead to the right answer. So it's been my experience with the clients that I've been seeing that most of their kinky desires stem from childhood. For some, whatever needs that weren't met in childhood have been sexualized in adulthood. For example, foot fetishes are very popular fetishes, but where does it come from? While the origin might differ from person to person, I can tell you I've had several foot fetish clients who've reported that they didn't get enough sort of attention and affection in their household from their mother specifically. One in particular was telling me that, you know, his mother was very busy raising three young children. The dad wasn't around a lot, and the mom running around like, as a busy woman, she would put him down as he was a baby on the ground. So he tended to be at eye level to her feet constantly. And he remembers even as being a young baby that he sort of associated the feet with a source of affection and even survival because, you know, he depended on his mother, not just for affection, but for survival. So he saw the symbol of her feet as something to be desired. And this objectification of feet was like a seed planted in his brain as an adult, and he became aroused by women's feet and as he became older. And that's just one example. That can't, there's no sort of blueprint on why certain people have fetishes and certain people have different kinks, but that's just an example. So what is a dominatrix? Basically, people seek me out to help them make their fantasies a reality. And I do this in a way that's safe and effective. Contrary to popular belief, I'm not a demanding bitch who gets to paid to do whatever I want. As the dominant or the one leading the session, it's my job to bear witness to my clients in their most vulnerable states. And I'm supporting them to explore parts of themselves that don't get a lot of attention. I'm wondering if that sounds familiar to any fellow healers out there or fellow therapists. Basically creating a sacred space for them to be themselves in. I wanna pause here for a moment. Everyone go ahead and take another deep breath. I wanna ask you once again to take a moment and go into your body and just feel into what's happening now. Has the energy moved up into your head, or are you still feeling sort of more unified throughout the body? Just breathe into your heart space. Breathe into your belly. And imagine breathing in and out through your genitals. I want to try to keep all parts of that unified as much as possible so we don't get too much in our heads. And if you feel called, go ahead and type into the chat what sort of physical sensations or emotions you're feeling as you see these pictures, because we're just getting started. We're going to be, it's not going to be X-rated by any means, so don't worry about that, but it's going to get a little more risque, shall we say. So see, just check in, see how you're feeling. I want to see if everyone's staying with me here. And if you don't want to share, let me just say, if you don't want to share into the chat what's happening for you, that's totally okay. Just notice what that brings up in you. You know, how do you feel about being seen in this sort of place? Because this is a practice in being vulnerable in your sexuality, and that can bring up a lot for people. All right, I'm going to move forward. So a little bit about my story. I'm originally from Northern California, but I was DJing at fetish parties in Tokyo back in 2002. And that's when I was first introduced to the kink scene. And it's there that I started meeting people in the lifestyle. I started meeting professional dominatrixes, and I became interested in trying it out as a job, as a dominatrix. So I was in my early 20s, and when I was, you know, being a dumb young 20-year-old kid, when I learned about, oh, okay, I can do this job and make a lot of money. I don't have to take off my clothes. I don't have to have sex with anyone. I get treated like a queen. Sign me up. You know, that was kind of where I was at in my 20s. But I have to say, on a deeper level, I really liked the idea of being in a job where I felt like I was the one in control. And for me, that was super appealing, but especially it felt really safe. I bring this up because there are reoccurring themes in kink that tend to show up, and one of which is power dynamics, domination versus submission. The dominant is the one who assumes the power or control, and the submissive is the one who relinquishes the power or control. And one common misconception about kink or BDSM is that it's abuse and violence. However, true kink involves a lot of communication and preparation before partners even begin playing. And the key word here is consent. This preparation includes a lot of communication, talking about turn-ons, turn-offs, boundaries and limits. Something I'll be posting soon is the kink checklist, and that's a great tool that you can use in this process. But players negotiate the terms of the playtime and always agree on a safe word. And now that we're talking about safe words, this is really important for anyone who's not familiar with safe words. When you're exploring kink, there must be a commitment to keeping the channels of communication open at all times, and to keep each other safe and their well-being at the forefront. You must always establish a safe word before moving forward. And since some fantasies and types of play may inspire participants to say no or stop when they actually mean yes and more, having a safe word will ensure safety, and it's a way to communicate with each other without interrupting the mood and the flow of the session or the playtime. And what's really popular is the stoplight safe word mechanism. This is very popular in the kink scene, and it's really easy to remember. Green, as you might guess, is more, I love this, increase the intensity, give it to me, hell yeah, sort of energy. And then yellow, slow it down. Maybe we're approaching something I'm not really interested in exploring at this time, or the intensity is too much, pull back. And of course, red is stop. I'm not enjoying this. So should you or your partner be unable to speak during a play period because you're gagged or for any other reason, a nonverbal safe word must be agreed upon before you begin. And many choose to snap your fingers, hum a tune, stomp your feet down in order to indicate they need an activity to stop. The purpose of this thorough preparation is to build a strong foundation and to have a container of safety to explore in. It requires vulnerability and trust. At the end of the day, the submissive or the person on the receiving end has just as much power as the dominant because they both have choice. The top or the dominant has just as much right to say no to something as the bottom or the submissive. It's a partnership and should be considered a co-creation. Let me just take my screen off for a moment so I could see some friendly faces here. So I'm wondering if Marta, if you can, if you were able to access the kink checklist link that I had emailed. If not, I can find it, but I wanted to put that into the chat for everyone. This is a link to
we're still working on that, but if you have the link, please do add it to the chat.
One second. Everyone just bear with me. I think it's worth it because it's a great free resource that can help you with your planning. Let's see here. Here we go.
And we do have some questions, and I'm wondering if you'd like to answer some now or towards the end.
Yeah, you know what? Give me just a few more minutes, and and I'll come back to that. Absolutely. Thank you. So the kink checklist, it's a practical way to communicate your desires and your experience levels to your partner and to learn theirs in return. And the kink checklist can also be called a negotiation form. But this is a great tool to get things started at the very least when you're beginning the preparation process. And not only that, but hopefully filling out this checklist can be a sexy and fun thing for you and your partner to do. It can inspire new ideas or deeper communication. And the more information you know about your partner and they know about you, the safer and more exciting your playtime can be. And I can't go into all the activities listed on that form at the moment, but you can usually search online to find the definitions, or if you can't, you can email me and I'll let you know what some of the things mean. But just keep in mind, it doesn't cover every kinky activity that exists, but it should be thought of as a conversation starter, something to get the ball rolling. And even if you don't currently have a partner to explore with, it can still be a great tool to help you have a better understanding of the things you might be interested in. Before we get to questions, I just want to finish a little bit more about my story as I began working as a dominatrix. So as I continued to work as a dominatrix, I also began teaching classes on how to spice things up in the bedroom, essentially. And around that same time, I discovered a somatic therapeutic modality called core energetics. And I was doing my own inner personal work to heal my emotional wounds. For those that haven't heard of core energetics, it's a therapeutic modality that was discovered by John C. Perakis. He was a student of William Reich. Reich was a student of Freud. He co-created bioenergetics with Alexander Lowen. And core energetics is similar to bioenergetics, somatic experiencing, hikomi, et cetera. And I took this five-year program to become certified in this therapeutic modality. And I've been practicing it for the last 6 years. But from this evolution, I began to see the sacredness of kink and its healing potential. Because I was realizing that I was seeing my clients in a way that no one sees them. Their families don't know, their partners don't know, and most of the time their own therapists don't even know. And that's how much shame is linked to our fantasies. But for a period of time, my clients could feel free of their shame and they could feel supported and seen in this most vulnerable state. Because I could have clients that were extremely wealthy and Fortune 500 company owners. But when it comes to the subject of sex and fantasies and this and that, it makes everyone very nervous or feels really young. So it's a very vulnerable place for most people, no matter how powerful you are. And I realized I wasn't actually controlling my partners. I was deeply connecting and attuning to them. And my partners weren't just submitting to me, they were surrendering to the moment, to their desires, and to themselves. Because kink isn't really necessarily about control and submission. It's more about connection and surrender. And these things require courage, trust, and vulnerability. So let me just say, there's nothing weak about being submissive when it's consensual. And there's nothing cruel about being dominant when it's consensual. And I like to think of it like this, as a sense of like, let's play. We both know the rules to the game. Let's play, or even better, let's dance. We both know the steps. We took the time to communicate, to build a container, to prepare. So I'll lead and you follow. Let's have a kinky tango, so to speak. And I want to further comment on the idea of consent, because I believe this is vital to kink. And I also believe it's vital to healing sexual shame and trauma. And I studied with Betty Martin for her Wheel of Consent training. And she spoke last Sunday at the Embodiment Conference. She's amazing. I highly recommend looking into her, the Wheel of Consent. A lot of free material on her and her work. But I learned from that there's just far too much non-consensual domination and submission happening in our world. And I think it's because of this that so many people can't understand the attraction of power exchange and kink. Because when you think of reasons around suffering, pain, injustice, most of the time there's a non-consensual act of dominance or submission at play. And whether we're kids and our parents or the authority figures in our lives didn't care about having our full consent, or even as adults feeling like you're being forced to do something you're not a hell yes to. Because in kink and in tantra too, if you're not a hell yes, then you're a no. So I believe all of this can cause internal conflict for many people, because so many people have fantasies around submitting to or being dominated by another. And the stigma around kink is real. And I think it's linked to our negative experiences around power dynamics. But there's nothing more liberating than consensually stepping into a role and creating the fantasy world you want to create. I mean, as kids, did you ever play make-believe, you know, and play games and pretend to be somebody else? This is the adult version. It's part of who we are, to use our imagination, to explore, to have adventure. And you're always there voluntarily, and you can stop it at any time. So for me, consent is power. So I really wanted to sort of touch on that idea around consent and why kink isn't abuse, violence, and all of these other things that unfortunately have a stigma attached to it. Okay, so everyone take a deep breath. I would love to hear some questions. I just wanted to say, I'm gonna be talking more about conscious kink and how it leads to healing and empowerment next, but I'm definitely open to answering some questions, especially on some of the stuff I just covered. If I get a question that I know I'm gonna be covering in the near future, I'll let you know. But yeah, I'd love to hear what's going on for people right now.
Sure, so one of the questions, Kimmy, goes back to the dance that you did at the beginning. And someone noticed that after the dance, they had a strong sense of hesitation and resistance simply to allowing themselves to enjoy the experience. And the person's wondering, why do you think that might be?
Yeah, you know, the body is always there giving us information, and I hope that person was able to just be with that information from the body and to have some gentleness and compassion around it. It's hard to say, you know, why one person may feel one way about moving their bodies and another might feel another way. Sometimes the idea about tapping into our Eros energy, our sexual sensuality, can bring up a lot of feelings for people. This subject alone can bring up a lot of feelings for people. It's not too often your parents talk to you about bondage and discipline and spanking when you're growing up as a kid, right? Or sex even. So subjects around kink, sex, fantasies, etc., can bring up and unearth a lot of maybe repressed or covered emotions around the subject. So if tapping into that, you know, sensual movement brought up something for you, I highly recommend investigating that, you know, and looking into what is that about, what's going on for my body, and keep breathing and seeing if you can expand your container of tolerance for these emotions, for these feelings. A lot of the clients that come to see me have a hard time holding that, the energy of it, and they need help in co-regulating and being able to have their sexual desires and attractions. So yeah, I say move slowly, like make sure that your slowest, move as fast as your slowest part within you, because we run over each other or ourselves. We run over ourselves all the time. So I say, go slow, keep listening, keep breathing and sticking with it.
Thanks for that answer. Someone else asked, I'm preparing to meet with someone whom I had met online while chatting, and we are very much on the same page, and I know how to be safe. And so my question is, how do I overcome my first date nerves to engage with some of the things we have mapped out in our mutual interests?
Yeah, so if this is a first meeting, feeling excited, nervous, nerve-sighted, all of those things, that's going to be so natural and normal. So embrace it. If you feel confident in the preparation that you've done, that you've laid the groundwork necessary in order to be safe, sane, and consensual during this experience, then embrace the butterflies. I mean, that's aliveness right there. You know what I mean? Like I said before, keep breathing, keep moving slowly. Keep checking in with your partner. Be transparent with your partner around how you're feeling. If you're nervous, let them know. You know, you don't have to shoulder it all by yourself. Hopefully that you're going to be meeting a partner that has the experience and understanding to meet you in that place. And again, yeah, if it's a first time meeting, whether you're the top or the bottom, submissive or the dominant, make sure that you take care of yourself and always listen to your gut. Always make sure that you're tuning into yourself and checking in with yourself that everything is as you want it to be, as you feel safest for. So I hope that helps.
And that might be a nice segue into our next question, because someone asked, what is the difference between top versus dom versus bottom versus sub?
Yeah, that's a great question. So while there's a similarity around the top and bottom, dominant and submissive, the dominant and submissive focus is more on the idea of power and control. And the top and bottom it doesn't have such an emphasis on that power per se. It could almost be thought of as a catcher pitcher sort of scenario. So there is an idea around roles and sensations that the top understands to pitch to the bottom, and the bottom receives that activity, that sensation, whether it's spanking, bondage, et cetera, but there isn't necessarily a relinquishing of power where the bottom wants to serve the top, like the bottom, you know, wants to worship the top, et cetera. So this idea around dominance and submissives have the focus of the power exchange and the control, and the top and bottom have an agreement on what activities will be played out, but the bottom doesn't necessarily give up all of their power and doesn't necessarily serve and you know, please and give up all their power to the top per se. So it's a very fine line there, but the dominant and submissive is more about the power exchange in that sense. Excuse me.
So our next question is, if you have any tips on how to differentiate kink situations from previous non-consensual experiences on an embodied level so as to feel safe and comfortable with the former.
Yeah. So I'm working with clients that have had sexual trauma in their histories. And there's an idea, like I keep saying it like a broken record, this idea that I have to go really, really slow with them. So we can make sure that their body is moving at the pace that feels safest for them and able to catch up with the experience so they can process it. But there's almost this like reclaiming of self in that place. So when you're engaging in consensual kinky activities, there's a way that you're embracing this choice, as consent. I think there's just a really important process if you have experienced any trauma or abuse sexually that you work with somebody that can go that slow, that can meet you in those places. And if you haven't had an opportunity to work with a kink-friendly, sex-positive therapist, I highly recommend doing so because I think that they bring a certain kind of expertise along in the therapeutic structure that will help you feel more seen, especially if you are someone that identifies as a kink person. And I want to, you know, I think this actually segues really good into the rest of my talk, which I want to make sure I get to because we don't have a lot of time. So I'm going to go back to my talk around conscious kink, and I'm going to turn my screen back on, excuse me. Okay, so what is conscious kink? So I'm going to be showing a bunch of photos that sort of demonstrate this. Just so you guys know, these aren't hired models. These are friends of mine that have volunteered to be a part of this experience. They wanted to experience conscious kink sessions with me and allowed there to be a photographer in the room. So these are not models. These are friends of mine that wanted to be a part of this process. But basically what I've been doing is that I've been bringing the idea of having a therapy session and kink sessions together in one. So helping people explore their sexuality and their Eros energy. So unlike regular kinky sessions where participants are only focused on the act of playing, in a conscious kink session, there's opportunity for going so much deeper. Because I approach this work very differently as a somatic healer than I would as a dominatrix. And so I create ample time to build the foundation well before I introduce the aspect of play into the session. And I do this by gathering background information like I would any other therapy session. And this intake process has an emphasis on the sexual history and identity of the client. But in the beginning stages, the goal is to build the relationship with my client and create a safe container for them to be vulnerable in. And we do all kinds of things ranging from deep breathing exercises and guided meditations and eye gazing. And we also discuss their sexual fantasies in depth. We establish limits and boundaries and agree upon a safe word. And as a somatic therapist, I stay aware of my client's energy and I notice whether they're splitting off or leaving energetically. I focus on helping them stay grounded in their bodies and I help them feel any emotions that may come up. And in order to make this session more than a regular kink session, I must bring myself in fully, grounded in my own sexual energy, but most importantly, being in my heart and with the intention of being in service to guide my clients towards their truth. And not only do I attune to my client, I help my clients attune to themselves. And no session is alike, and it's tailored to the need of the couple or the individual. But generally, when we approach the aspect of engaging in their sexual fantasies, we do so slowly. Thoughts and emotions are given space to discuss, explore, and process while the session is in progress. And this allows for discovery and reflection for the client. And there's an opportunity for the client to expand their own capacity to tolerate intense sensations and emotions that may have previously struggled with. And there's an opportunity for the client to gain more self-knowledge and to feel more empowered. So I provide a safe and sacred space for exploration, supportive guidance and reflection, and education on ways to be safe and effective and helpful tools for integration. And we don't have a lot of time, so we're gonna do a really quick erotic visualization exercise. So go ahead and get comfortable in your seat. And if you feel like bringing out that blindfold, please do. And if not, no worries at all. There's an idea that bringing in the blindfold could possibly intensify your experience, but everyone is different and it's just an invitation to explore. You could be your own personal scientist in your lab and see what sort of things are brought up for you during that. So let me just share my sound. Okay. Good. Now take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Another deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. I want you to visualize being in a space that feels very erotic for you. But while it feels erotic, it also feels very safe. You're very, very safe in this space. But the energy of it feels cozy. It feels sensual. Imagine what you're wearing while you're sitting in this space. Something that makes you feel either sensual or powerful or submissive or vulnerable. Take a deep breath into the nose, out through the mouth. And imagine your ideal partner. Maybe it's someone you already know, or maybe it's someone you don't know, or it's a fictitious person altogether. But what does that ideal, most perfect partner look like? What are they wearing? How do they smell? And imagine them approaching you and leaning in and whispering into your ear something that's going to just drive you absolutely wild. Maybe they're going to be in charge, or maybe you're going to be in charge and they're giving you an invitation to be in charge. Notice what's happening in your body.
We're going to be closing this in a few seconds, but just breathe and take note of what's happening in your body. How does it feel to be in this space, this safe space with this perfect, oh so perfect partner, where you can be fully yourself and have all of your fantasies come true exactly the way you want, exactly the pace you want. Good. And just take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And when you're ready, slowly bring yourself back to me. And I'm sorry we didn't have a longer experience, my darlings. I wasn't expecting this to go on so long, but I'm just having so much fun speaking and sharing all of this with you. But I want to make sure that I have enough time to have some questions, because I know it's important that people share. And I can also, if you want to see the rest of my talk, you can email me and I'll send you a paper that has the rest of the details of this talk. So feel free to email me. And Marta, would you like to open it up for questions?
Unfortunately, we don't have any more time for questions, but I'm wondering what we'll do is we'll drop in your web address. So if anyone has any questions, they can always reach out to you that way. I'm sure there's some contact information on your website.
There is. Yeah. You can message me there. It's kimmyinch.com. And I also have a link to a bunch of YouTube videos that have a lot of information as well. And yeah, you can just reach out and I can send you a paper on this talk so you have the full information.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Kimmy, for this pleasurable experience, pun intended. it really was great having you here. And I'd like to let everyone know that our next presenter at the Embodiment Conference on this channel will be Kira Sandra with a Panther Process Experience Through Narcissism, Masks, Control, and Manipulation. Sounds like another good one. For those of you who would like to connect more with us here at the Embodiment Conference, we do have Facebook groups, and there's Facebook groups for each of the different channels. And it's also an opportunity for them to interact with others and potentially with some of the presenters. We also have coffee breaks, where it's another opportunity to connect with the presenters as well as other people at the conference. And finally, as you're likely aware, we have about 1,000 presenters at the Embodiment Conference 2020. So that's a lot of people, and I know it's not realistic to see everyone. If you would like to own a portion or even the entire library, we would encourage you to do so. And it really supports our mission of making sure that embodiment is available for everybody. And before we finish off, I'd like to give the last word to Kimmy. Kimmy, I'm wondering, what is your top embodiment tip?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, for those that need to hear it, your sexual fantasies are normal. It's a part of your humanity. It's pure part of your human experience. So trust in that and know that you're not alone. And man, just keep being human and keep being kinky. And that's all I have to say on that subject.
Thanks so much, Kimmy. And thanks for everyone for being here. We're going to end the session now. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much.